Everybody take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 69. When you find Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 69, go ahead and stand in honor of God's Word, if you're able to, please. Matthew 26, 69, the Bible says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with, or that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. He was immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which saith unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again we ask you to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we desperately need to hear from you. We come to you, just sinners saved by grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to have your direction. We need to have your challenging words. Dear Heavenly Father, you know what we need this morning. There's no possible way that, humanly speaking, I can meet every need here, except you use me to meet each need. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just accomplish your will and your way this morning. I pray that you help us to walk out of here, change people closer to you, just more submitted to you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be better Christians, better witnesses, and just more used by you this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. You may be seated. This morning I'm going to preach on how to get up from the bottom. How to get up from the bottom. It seems there was this wild duck who, with his mates, was flying in the springtime north across Europe. During the flight, he came down to a Danish barnyard where there was other tame ducks. And if you haven't noticed, I like duck hunting and bird hunting. But he enjoyed some of their corn. He stayed for an hour, and then a day, and then a week, and then a month. Finally, because he relished the good fare and the safety of the barnyard, he stayed all summer long. But one autumn day, when the flock of wild ducks were winging their way southward again, they passed over the barnyard, and their mate heard their cries. He was stirred with a strange thrill of joy and delight, and with great flapping of wings, he rose in the air to join his old comrades in their flight. But he soon found out that his good fare had made him so soft and heavy that he could rise no higher than the eaves of the barn. So he dropped back into the barnyard and said to himself, Oh well, my life is safe here, and the food is good. Every spring and autumn, when he heard the wild ducks honking, his eyes would gleam for a moment, and then he would begin to flap his wings. But finally the day came when the wild ducks flew over him and uttered their cry, and he paid not the slightest attention to them. What a parable of how the soul can forget its high ideals and standards and be content with lower things. While this is just a story, let me ask you this morning, is it your story? Was there a time when you soared higher with the Lord than you are soaring right now? We all go through periods where we kind of play the prodigal son. Hopefully not to the extent of the prodigal son, where we wander away from God's house. But you know what? We'll never be satisfied waddling around on the ground when we are created to soar high above the world. In our text, we have an individual, a man who puts a story of the complacent duck and the human shoe leather. And basically we have a man named Simon Peter. Let me just tell you that it did not happen instantly. Simon Peter didn't go from being used greatly by God to instantly denying the Lord. And our text finds him in the wrong place, you're doing the wrong things with the wrong people. And you say, how did he wind up that way over time? Seems like things begin to slip, and before a person knows it, it happens. They were no longer high above the world, but digging and wallowing in the muck of the world and surrounded by people how they didn't know how they ended up with, and finding out that they couldn't fly and didn't care how to find out. And so here's the thing, is some in this room are just like Simon Peter. We have allowed our heart to grow cold, and you know what? Our love for Jesus doesn't burn as brightly as it used to. The things of God are just as glorious as they always have been, and God's power has never waned. God, here's the thing, is God doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow old. His power doesn't wane. Here's the thing, is a lot of times we walk away from Him. God doesn't walk away from us. And so we're going to look at this morning the events that lead to Peter's fall and restoration as we consider how to get up from the bottom. And so we're going to look at this passage, and first we're going to look at Peter's faith. And Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, we see that Peter had an encounter with God. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're going to be in the Gospels quite a bit. And so Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" By the way, you ever notice that when we encounter Christ, we realize our sinful nature? And this is what happened. He had fell down and said, "For I am a sinful man, O Lord." By the way, too many times, when we read our Bible, the Bible is a confrontational book. You know, a lot of times the world wants to say, you know what, I tell you what, feel good about yourself. And we have churches all across America called the Happy Church. And you know what, they want us to feel good. And why? Because they can get our money and they can attract the crowds. But you know what, it's not about crowds and it's not about money. We need to have a true experience with Christ Jesus. And John chapter 1 and verse 41 and 2, I'll read it for you. "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas,' which is interpreted, a stone." And so here's the thing, is we know that he had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of times, too many times you hear people, well, maybe you knock on a door, you ask somebody, well, if you were to die today, do you know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? Oh, yeah. Oh, I saw this light. And here's the thing, is you don't need to see the light. You need to see Jesus. And so when it comes down to it, First John chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so listen, there's the Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so here's the thing, is that if you're trusting in anything other than Christ to get you to heaven, the finished work of Calvary, according to the Word of God, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." And so Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.'" And so we see first as Peter's faith is Peter's conversion. And so turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. We're going to look at a lot of verses this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Peter's confession. Here's the thing, is he was settled on who Jesus was. He knew beyond all doubt that Jesus was everything he claimed to be. He knew that he was essential for salvation. And so, listen, too many times we take and we witness to somebody and they say, "Well, you know what? I don't really believe that Jesus is God. Here's the thing, is if you don't believe Jesus is God, then I don't know how in the world you can be saved." But when it comes down to it, John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Bible says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And so here's the thing is, listen, we've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the next thing we see is Peter's conclusion. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 6 and verse 68. John chapter 6 and verse 68. The Bible says, then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And so we see that Peter took all that he knew about Jesus and said that Jesus alone was the way to God, the truth from God, and the life from God. Peter knew that everything began and ended with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, it is imperative for us to come to know Christ. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, get this settled. Here's the thing is, we know that Peter got this settled in John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This morning, if you're trusting in your church attendance to get you to heaven, let me tell you, you're on your way to hell. If you're trusting in good works to get you to heaven, the Bible says that our righteousness is filthy rags. And when it comes down to it, that listen, the Bible talks about it's very easy to trust Christ. We got to realize that we're a sinner. And listen, if you don't think you're a sinner, we'll talk to your parents, we'll talk to your spouse, we'll talk to your kids. And I think very quickly it'll become evident that we are sinners. And you know what? We've inherited a sin nature. And a lot of times you don't have to teach a child to lie or to get in trouble. And it's that old sin nature. We need a Savior. And we've got to believe that Jesus Christ is that Savior. And but too many times we take or the world will take and try and convince you that there are other ways to heaven, that there's more than one God. Listen, there's only one God, and that's the God of this book right here. And anyways, we've got to trust Him to get to heaven. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 2, the Bible says, Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Peter is numbered. He's blessed, and he's among the 12 apostles. And this was a place of honor. He was a dedicated soldier of Jesus Christ, and he tried to defend the life of Christ. We see this when he took out a sword and he cut off the ear and Christ had put it back on. But here's the thing is, you know what? I don't doubt for a moment that we're dealing with a saved man. Peter was born again. His name was written in heaven. He was a child of God. And yet he still winds up in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people. You say, well, how is that? I'm glad you asked. We'll talk about that. And the lesson is this. Don't think that your spiritual walk ends with being saved. Listen, when you trust Christ, you know what? Your name is written in the book of life. You're on your way to heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a child of God. You got adopted into the family of God. And you know what? That'll never change. God doesn't say, you know what, Ray, you know what? You've trusted Christ and you're a child of God. And then later on I say, you know what? I tell you what, that Ray, now I'm starting to second guess it. No, here's the thing is, you know what? When we become born again, like the Bible says, we once saved, always saved. Now it doesn't mean that God doesn't chasten. The Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." And I don't know about you. Here's the thing is, earthly parents. I tell you what, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Listen, it takes some training. It takes some work. Imagine how much more. You know, it's like the psalmist, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I tell you what, we're sinful people. And you know what, we're just sinners saved by grace. But here's the thing is, you know what? It doesn't end merely at salvation. Our salvation ends when we trust Christ. But you know what? From there, we should develop a walk with God. And there's a relationship that we need to cultivate and nurture. And you know what? If we do, there's blessings. And we can enjoy a walk with God. It isn't just enough to claim the things of God. It isn't just enough to be saved. You know, too many times Christians, they miss the point. They trust Christ. You know what? They've inflated their life raft. And you know what? They're no longer on their way to hell. But you know what? They missed the boat as far as They stop their they stop things right there. They never get to the point where they read their Bible. They never get to the point where they pray. They never get to the point where, you know what, they just occupy a space. You know what? Hey, I'll come to church once in a blue moon, and you know what? That'll be good enough. God and I have an understanding. You know what? Those kind of Christians miss the boat. You missed a relationship. You missed blessings. You missed the sweet hour of prayer. You've missed the time in the Bible where the Bible just comes to life. You missed the being used by God. You missed the service to God and realized that, you know what? Hey, listen, it wasn't because of you, but God just used you in a great way. There's more to the Christian life than just saying, you know what? I've inflated my life raft. The truth is that if you know what? If we've been with Jesus, it will show on you and in you. And, you know, I remember the verse that talks about, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned men, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so here's the thing is, you know what? When they were with Jesus, other people knew, because it showed on them and in them. They were different. And by the way, you know, if we don't develop a relationship with the Lord, that will be evident too. Next we saw Peter's faith. Next we see Peter's fall. Like we said, Peter was a saved man. But he was doing things in a place where he shouldn't have been doing them and with people that he shouldn't have been. I believe that the Bible sheds a lot of light on how Peter wound up where he was. We see his faith. We knew he trusted God. Now let's look at how he fell. There was three main areas in his life that led to Peter's fall. First, we see that Peter fell in his words. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.'" Here he's rebuking the words of Christ. And next, we see, moving into the next point a little bit, Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 and 35, the Bible kind of shows the next stage of this is, "And Peter answered and said unto him, 'Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.' Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.'" He rejected Christ's words. In both instances, Peter heard the words of Christ and decided that, you know what? He rejected it as truth. He went about establishing his own truth. "God, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me set you straight on what should happen. Let me set you straight on what I'm going to do." And listen, when it comes down to it, I don't know. You know, we should never get to the point where we decide, "God, I'm going to set you straight." Because let me tell you, every time, that's a perfect indicator that, you know what, I'm wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. Listen, the only setting straight that needs to happen is let the Word of God set me straight. And listen, and so here's the thing is that Peter heard what Jesus said, yet he rejected it as truth, and he opened his mouth, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Rebellion that was in his heart came out. And by the way, when your heart is not where it should be with the Lord, eventually it'll affect our words too. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. The Bible says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." I tell you what, one of the fastest ways for a pastor to figure out where the hearts of his people are is to preach on standards and convictions out of the Word of God. If the Word of God is being preached, too many times if we say, "You know what, listen, that's not for me. I know the Bible says, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy,' and I'm supposed to address and act and talk the way is pleasing to the Lord. And you know what? I'm supposed to be a witness, and I'm supposed to read my Bible, and I'm supposed to pray, and I'm supposed to be in service to the Lord. And I'm not supposed to miss church. The Bible says, 'Not forsaking of the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some are, but so much the more as you see the day approaching.' Let me tell you, the day is approaching. You know, wickedness is on every hand, more and more. more, we need Christians to stand up and say, you know what? I only remain a prophet. It doesn't matter what the world says. Listen, we need to stand up and say, listen, I am going to stand with this book. I am going to live for Christ. I want to be used by God. But listen, too many times we say, you know what? I don't want to step outside my comfort zone. I don't want to take and live a holy life. I don't want to have to do the uncomfortable thing. I know that standing for Christ is going to be uncomfortable, but listen, you know what? Too many times we get like Peter and we reject the words of Christ. We say, you know what? That's not for me. I don't have to have this standard. I don't have to have this conviction. I don't have to be faithful to God. I don't have to be faithful to my Bible reading. I don't have to be faithful to prayer. I don't have to be a faithful witness and share the gospel with everybody I meet. Hey, listen, I'm just, you know what? I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm a mediocre Christian. I'm a lukewarm Christian. It'll all be okay. God and I have an understanding. You know what? That certain thing. Listen, God, be it not so. Too many times, it's a condition of the heart. Listen, we're on our way to going exactly where Peter went, where we find ourselves somewhere we ought not to be, where we find ourselves doing things that we ought not to do, and with people that we have no business being with. We're going to find ourselves denying Christ if we keep on the pride that says, listen, God, be it not so. When we start to tell God that His book is not the words of God, we start taking and deciding that, you know what? Hey, the King James Bible doesn't line up with my beliefs, so I'm going to either alter it or get another version of the Bible. Hey, listen, that Calvary Baptist Church, they preach too hard. Hey, they preach a holy life. You know what? I'll go find another church that's easier to sit through. Hey, listen, when we do that, we tell God, hey, listen, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me set you straight. And I'll be honest with you, Peter was like that. You know, a rebellious, wayward heart will cause our mouth to reveal our true character. A lot of times it turns us mean. We will hurt other people with our tongue. We will talk behind their backs. We will have a negative, bad attitude about everything. And it's just a sign that our heart isn't towards the things of God like it needs to be. Here's the thing is, you know what? But by the grace of God, I am where I am. And I'll be honest with you. Too many times we say, you know what? I don't need God. And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. I'm too scared to find out what I'd be like without God. Because here's the thing is, you know what? Sin, you read it in the Bible, you see it all over Bezerra's, all over the world. You see where sin takes you. And you know what? Sin costs you more than you want to pay. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it takes you a whole lot further than you want to go. And when it comes down to it, listen, sin is a destruction. It's a tool of Satan to destroy our lives. The Bible says he desires to have us that he may sift us as wheat. But you know what? Our heart, the sign of a heart that is not right with God, takes the words of Christ and says, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but I have a better way to live my life. I know you want me to live this way, but here's the way I'm going to live. God, let me set you straight on my will and my life. Friend, an attitude like that is nothing but pride. If your heart doesn't stay close to Christ and remain tender, you will fall into these words. Next, we see Peter fell in his walk. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40, "And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? This is Peter who said, Lord, you know what? I'll be with you. I'll never forsake you. And here he is, Jesus in his time where he wanted, you know what? Here's the thing is he wanted a time of prayer. He wanted his disciples, the ones that were closest to him, to have a sweet hour of prayer like the song says. He wanted to have a prayer meeting. And here's the thing is, you know what? Peter was asleep during the prayer meeting. And here's the thing is, by the way, we're getting ready to have cottage prayer meetings. Where will you be during the cottage prayer meetings? Asleep? Watching television? Or will you be praying? Now, I understand that not everybody for their schedule can attend the cottage prayer meeting, but are you praying during the time for the revival? And here's the thing is, Peter fell in his walk. You know what? We see in Matthew 26 and verse 58, he followed afar off, but Peter followed afar off from the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. I don't want to get too close. I might be associated with Christ. Here's the thing is, how many of us are following afar off? You know what? I don't want to be one of those Bible thumpers. I don't want to be known at work by one of those people who Christ is their everything and their life is just full of they're always talking about church and they're always talking about the Bible. I don't want to be those people that knock on somebody's door and share the gospel with somebody. I don't want to be the neighbor that all they're doing is talking about church. Hey, listen, are we following afar off? Well, we see the next step in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. The Bible says, "And Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came to him and saying, Thou also was with Christ of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He fellowshipped around the wrong fire." What was Peter doing around a bunch of unbelievers? What was Peter doing huddled around out in the world? What was Peter doing around a bunch of people that were accusing him of being saved? Here's the thing is, Peter found out the hard way that you cannot hide sin's presence in our lives. Do you see what he did? At an hour when the Lord needed him the most, Peter fell asleep. He couldn't stay awake praying. After this shameful event, he decided not to be around the precious side of the Lord and Savior anymore. He now followed afar off. And it concludes with the fact that he's fellowshipping with the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, enjoying their fire, speaking their language, and when he denies the very Lord who bought his soul and saved him from hell, imagine how it grieved the heart of the Savior who he claimed to love. Listen, what's the condition of our walk with God? What's the condition of our service? You know, we've seen the same thing through the years. What was there a time when you walked with God where His Word was precious? Where when you read the Bible just came to life? Was there a time where when you prayed, it felt like that you were just meeting with the God of heaven? Was there a time where God used you to see a soul saved or to plant a seed? Was there a time where God used you in a great way? Where it just seemed like your heart was burning for the things of God and you just couldn't wait to come to church because you learned so much about the Word of God. I love seeing a new believer trust Christ because the fire and the zeal is there. They get so excited about coming to church and they just love this church to death. And you know what? You kind of hope that you shield them from the old soured Christians that say, you know what, I got to go to church again. Here's the thing is, you know what? It was there a time where you got excited to be around the things of God. You got excited to fellowship with people that love the Lord just like you. Or is that time past? Now do you find yourself, I guess I'll read the Bible today. You know what? I'll get in my prayer time. You know what? I guess I'll teach a Sunday school class. Oh, man, I hope Pastor doesn't ask for volunteers. You know what? Oh, man. Yeah, here's the thing is, you know what? Too many times if we'll travel down that path, a lot of times, just like Peter, we'll find ourselves warming our hands around the devil's fire. And the thing about it is that this is, you know, let me explain something for a moment. You don't have to commit a murder. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to steal or get drunk to be in sin. All you have to do is grow cold for the things of God and do nothing about it. To get complacent, the Bible talks about a seared conscience. Here's the thing is, you want to know how you get there? When our pastor preaches and he pours out his heart and he pours out the message that God has given him. And we say, you know what? Altars are old fashioned. It's not for me. I don't want to make that decision. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm happy where I am. God, don't try and change my life. The thing about it is that all you have to do is let a little slackness. Don't be a slacker. And that should be the title of the sermon. And or coldness reside in your heart and you are there. Don't let God speak to your heart. Don't worry about the Bible. That's where Peter was. It won't be many days until you've gotten so far away from God that you'll wonder how you got there. And I'll be honest with you, Satan tries to get you to think, you know what? You have no way back. Listen, you're so far away from God, and God doesn't want you anymore. You can't dig yourself out of this hole. That's Satan's lie. And so here's the thing is, Peter fell in his ways. He forsook his personal Savior. He forsook the place of service. And here's the thing is, you know what? He reached a point where he simply ran away and deserted the Lord. But you know what? Real quick, Peter's forgiveness. I'm glad the story doesn't end there. Here's the thing is, you know what? It doesn't end at him warming his hands by the devil's fire. Peter repented, and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Listen, the message that Peter needed came from an unlikely source, a chicken. And here's the thing is, you know what? God can use some strange things to get your attention. And listen, if God can use a feathery animal to get his attention, you know what? Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, and by the way, Peter's repentance, he went out and wept bitterly. It's time that Christians started weeping bitterly over sin, realizing that, you know what, sin divides us from God. Sin renders us useless. Sin wreaks havoc in our lives. Sin will ruin our lives. Sin will ruin the lives of our children, our grandchildren. Sin will ruin the lives of our church. Sin will ruin the lives of Osiris and our country and the world if we allow it to run rampant in our lives. But here's the thing is, we were restored by God. And you know what? We see later on in Acts chapter 2 that God uses Peter in a great way. And you know what? 3,000 souls get saved. How is this possible? He was honest. He repented. And he decided to be used by God. Friend, I'm not trying to tell you that you have to walk far off this morning to come back to God. You know what? I'll be honest with you. Just like the psalmist, I feel like prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's the thing is, we have that sinful nature. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I love conferences. I love revivals. Because I realize that, you know what? In just a short amount of time, I can wander off the path. And you know what? Even the least bit of wandering needs correction. And revivals are a great time for the Lord to say, hey, listen, it's time to make a change. It's time to make a course correction. Because here's the thing is, you know what? I'd rather make a small course correction than a big one. You say, well, I don't need revival. Go ahead and warm your hands by the devil's fire. The thing about it is hopefully one day you'll reach the point where you'll decide, what happened to me? Well, the thing about it is you know what? There is restoration. There is revival. And I'll be honest with you, most of us in this room need to hear this message today. We need to heed it. Can we see where we have allowed sin to creep into our lives? Have we become cold? Has there been a place and a time in our lives where we were more on fire for God than we are this morning? I'll be honest with you, if the answer is yes to any of those questions, I'll be honest with you, we need to do business with God. We need to realize that, you know what? We need revival. We need, and here's the thing, is that there's one here that says, you know what? I don't know what you're talking about being saved. Let me tell you, it starts with trusting the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Do you need to do business with God this morning? We're going to have we're going to pray here, and then the altar's going to be open. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that there is restoration with you, that there is revival, and that, dear Heavenly Father, when we find ourselves walked away from you, cold, indifferent, and deciding that, you know what, I just am what I am. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you do use things like a rooster to bring us back to you, that you're constantly calling us back to you. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that we would do business with you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.